Well, if it's happening to you, it's probably happening to everyone else. That's why we call this Life and Other Catastrophes. Jane Fisher is here once again. She is the Finkel Professor of Global Health at Monash University. How are you going, Jane?
I'm well, thanks, Raph.
When we don't sleep, how we deal with it, what do you think is helpful? If I've got an issue with my sleep and we want people to call, what do you want to hear?
Well, it would be interesting to hear the techniques that people have developed, either to enable them to go to sleep, or a common problem is then to stay asleep. Because often what people find most distressing is they can go to sleep and then they wake up after a couple of hours and find it very difficult to go back to sleep. But there might well be people who have developed strategies or tricks to overcome that.
Yes.
And that would be very helpful to hear about.
1300 222 774 is the phone number. It'd be great to hear about your techniques. Got this on our Facebook page. This is from Dan. He says he's a recovering insomniac. Tips from a recovering insomniac. Number one, eliminate late night snacking, especially sugar. Tick. Number two, don't read disturbing or overly engrossing novels in bed. Try something calming, like reading about Zen Buddhism is great. And number three, learn mindfulness meditation. I'm going to ask you about number two, Jane. Don't read disturbing or overly engrossing novels? Is that overstimulates the brain before you go to sleep?
I think that's true. So that we're definitely told not to use screens because of the impact of the blue light. But I think there's no doubt that if you can use all sorts of soothing techniques that probably don't cause you to be engaged in problem solving or intrigue, or alarm through what you're reading, that probably is a helpful strategy.
When's a strategy become a crutch? Because I know quite a few people that can't go to sleep without the audiobook or the podcast or, dare I say it, 774 radio. They just need a talking voice, little speaker, a little radio under the pillow. If you always need that to go to sleep, is that good or bad?
Well, with babies, we try and reduce sleep associations. So we try and help them learn that being in bed is a safe place to be and you do ultimately go to sleep. I think using a radio or another form of white noise is probably not a harmful strategy.
Because you can get the rain. There's a rain app as well,
and
the storm app.
Whale sounds and a few other things. I guess the only downside might be if the person you're sharing a bed with doesn't like listening to that. But white noise and its equivalents is quite a good strategy and probably better than using sleeping medications, alcohol and other things that people sometimes use.
Why is it better than medication?
Well, medication for sleep can be dependency producing, can be difficult to relinquish, and ultimately you need a higher and higher dose to achieve the effect that you're seeking. So it does have potential harms.
1300 222 774 is the phone number. Carol in Heidelberg, her solution is she's in the back bedroom with Rod, Quinn and Trevor because of guests. Of course, yes. If you don't know them, by the way, that's because you sleep through the night and you never turn on the ABC between, better get my times right because I'm never awake either, between 2 and 5.30 because they are the ABC overnight's crew. Geraldine in Hampton, occasionally not asleep by 11 or 12. Get up, have a cup of tea, watch an episode of Would I Lie to You, and it works 8 out of 10 times. So middle-of-the-night techniques, 1300 222 774. Jane, middle-of-the-night, can't sleep. Do I get up and do something, or do I lie there and try to go back to sleep?
Well, I think the general recommendation is get up, because if you lie in bed awake, then that becomes an association with being in bed. And often that's a time when our worries go round and round and round and we really can't think of a solution. So they become magnified, we can feel powerless. So I think in general it's wise to get up and it's wise then to do something distracting.
TV?
Maybe not TV, probably reading, maybe listening to music.
Oh, listening to music. I mean, I'll try listening to music in the middle of the night. That's a good idea.
Well, someone tells me the best technique is to listen to Norman Swan. You'll go straight to sleep, but we probably won't tell him that. That's me. But I think something that actually takes your mind away from the things that are preoccupying you.
How do you take your mind off? That's the question, isn't it? You've got to find the thing that takes your brain away from those preoccupations.
Exactly. One of the things I think that can be helpful is to write them down, because we partly keep them going around our head because we're fearful we'll forget them, and then really put that to one side. So the self-talk that is reassuring, that says, I don't know, this will pass. In the morning, most things are more manageable than they are in the night, can be helpful. But being distracted from it is probably the most helpful, and allows you then to fall asleep again.
Move on. I am a chronic non-sleeper. This is a text from Lou. Made worse by menopause now, but the single biggest thing that helps me is not to worry about being awake. I now just go, okay, I'm awake. I know I will get through tonight and tomorrow, so I will go with it. 1300 222 774 is the phone number. Some of your messages on our Facebook page about your strategies for what you do when you can't sleep. Catherine, I play alphabet games in my head until I fall asleep. As a result, I'm unbeatable at scattergories. Okay. Michelle, meditation app. Pop one of the sleep meditations on during the night. Mark has this. Having suffered from insomnia on almost every single night since 1975, my only suggestion is to grin and bear it. Worrying about it will only mean that it will affect your sleep during the day as well. Jane, the long-term consequences if you're not sleeping, how's that impact your health?
Well, I think it impacts your health and your functioning. And ideally, people would have, adults would have 7 or 8 hours of sleep. And
do you get more than 8?
No.
No.
If only I could. Mm. 7 would be good.
Yes.
But I think it does have a measurable impact on concentration and on attention and on daytime sleepiness. So the likelihood that you'll fall asleep at the wheel of the car or when you're stopped at the traffic lights. And your capacity to do things that really demand careful problem solving is definitely diminished when you have insufficient sleep. I think it can become a very strongly established habit, but when people say they get by on 4 or 5 hours overnight, they often are people who have a daytime nap. And I think it's been shown that if you have a daytime nap, it reduces the amount of sleep you have overnight. So
it depends on the person, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
No, I'm not sure. I used to a long time ago when I did morning radio, I would have an afternoon nap. But I was younger. Didn't seem to affect my overnight sleeping.
No, and then, you know, you probably have got a well-established habit of sleeping, but if you have difficulty sleeping, they discourage you from having a nap during the day. One of the techniques that gets used in sleep laboratories and other places is if you have real difficulty falling asleep, they encourage you to time how much sleep you'd get. So maybe you think you'll get 2 or 3 hours and stay awake till that time. So if you're only going to get 3 hours, wait till 4 in the morning and then go to sleep. And then they gradually wind it back to 3:30 to 3. So it's a pretty tough technique,
wow, that's
but it has been shown to actually help you get back to a joined up
sleep.
Period of sleep.
That's harsh.
It is. And so if you go into a sleep lab, they will wake you up every time you're not up until you then get the capacity to self-regulate, to self-settle to sleep.
Oh, my gosh. This is a simpler solution. This is from Sarah. Can't sleep. I open the window and move to the other end of the bed. It works quite well. Yeah, I know quite a few people who either switch, they put the pillow at the other end of the bed, or just switch into another bed, and just simple change of location, they find greatly assists them going back to sleep.
Sounds good.
And I will mention this as well. Clinton on our Facebook page, you probably, if you're listening and you're looking for places to go to give you some sort of sleep solution, I go to the Headspace app for the wind down and sleep casts. So, yes, Headspace do some of these things. Although listening to the rain on the roof, which is part of the sleepcast, overnight in summer can be slightly confusing each morning. Yeah, hearing any rain on the roof is going to be confusing for a lot of us. Jane Fisher, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Sleep well.
Thank you.
Jane is the Finkel Professor of Global Health at Monash University.